Scripture is saying it's folly to live life without God at the center. That would be the way I would interpret that. You know, one of the reoccurring themes in the Apostle John's first letter is our call to be in loving relationship with God and loving relationship with one another. Just as God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love one another before even creation came to be, so we, created in His image, are created to be in relationship with Him and relationship with one another. That's why the church community is so important. This is God's scripture. You can't read the New Testament and live in isolation. You cannot read the scriptures and come to the conclusion, I can live in an isolated life. So God calls us together in worship. He calls us together to love one another, to be together, and to know this beautiful God who's inviting us into relationship with Himself. That's really what John is trying to help us see throughout his letter.
Abounding in Faith is the broadcast ministry of Emmanuel Bible Church of Howell, New Jersey. If you are blessed by this message, please subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel. You can also download our app by searching for IBCNJ in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org. Our speaker today is Senior Pastor Joe Suazo.
Okay. And it's a day of prayer. It's a praise and prayer throughout Tuesdays. And we get together at 6 o'clock by Zoom, so you can get up early and pray with us at 6, or you can come to the office at 12 o'clock, or you can come at 7. We have a prayer service. And this is one of those ministries that I think has been having a great impact in people's lives. Where are we at with our needle? They're up. We're kind of back down now, you see. This is what I'm talking about. We were up to about 25% at one point of the church, core people coming and gathering and praying, and now the needle's going down. That means we must be losing heart here. Must be getting discouraged. We must be forgetting that we need to be praying together as a church. You see, the power of God, and this is what Scripture teaches, is unleashed in some great way as we pray together. Now, I know a lot of you are praying individually. That's good. I encourage it. I think you need to be having your quiet time. But corporate prayer, coming together, there's something special about us meeting together in prayer. And I just want to encourage you to come out to one of those three services and taste. Scripture says taste and see that the Lord is good. Right, Pastor Mike? And I think you'll be blessed. There's a few people who really never prayed before. They started coming, and now they're starting to pray, and there are some of the faithful people in some of these services, and they're being changed. They're being transformed by it for the better. So I encourage you towards that end. Go back to the last slide. I want to just a little housekeeping here. I want to remind you that we have an app, an in-house app as a church, right? It's IBCNJ, IBCNJ. You can get there through Google Play or Apple Store, and you can download it. And there's a calendar on that app. Just one click, you get a calendar of what's happening that week. One click, all the prayer requests. You submit a prayer request. When Pastor Mike talks about the prayer requests in the bulletin, you can write them out, put them in the offering box. Those go on that list if you don't check confidential. If you want the church to be praying for something, you put that in, that's on that list, and you can open that up through the app and pray through it. That's a great tool. There's also a way to request prayer online. You just click that, you fill out the form, your email, your name, and it comes to the office, and then we'll make sure either the pastors, yes?
You can also get on the Zoom prayer meeting at 6 a.m. through the app.
And you can get onto the prayer meeting through Zoom on the app, so that's another way. So it's a great tool. I encourage you, and make sure you enable notifications. We don't send a lot of them, but we'll send out a scripture or a reminder from time to time. We don't badger people with notifications, usually one or two a week, just to be reminded through scripture that God is good, right? We all need that. So I encourage you to sign up for our app. Our reading today is from 1 John. chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn there. And in the Pew Bible, that's going to be page 1247. 1247, you want to grab your Pew Bible out there and join with me? Hopefully it's 1247. Let me know if it's not. It's not? 1023? Was it, Buck? 1023. Okay, see, you know, I'm a little bit mad at the publishers of ESV. When they launched this, they promised me that every ESV would have the same page numbers, and they changed somewhere, and I'm realizing that I can't go by my, I have to get the Pew Bible and figure it out. All right, so 1023, and we're in 1 John chapter 5, and we're just going to read three verses, so stand with me for the reading of God's word. And our subject today is going to be prayer. I write these things, this is the Apostle John, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. That's why we gather, right? We're a community of faith that believe in the name of the Son of God. What is he trying to write them about? Well, that's right here. That you may know that you have eternal life. Good news, right? Forever and ever, we're going to be with God and with each other. So I know you don't like everyone in this place. We all have our kind of likes and dislikes, right? You may not hang around with every single person here, but guess what? We're all going to be in heaven forever and ever with each other. So you might as well get used to the person next to you in the pew. And we're going to be with most of all together with the Lord. That you would have eternal life. And this is the confidence, verse 14, that we have towards him. That's towards God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Are you kidding me? That is what I call a promise of prayer. That means if I ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What a great promise. And then if we ask, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we've asked of him. Father, we just ask as we look at this subject of prayer this morning that you would just solidify in our hearts the joy of spending time with you. The peace of God that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the greatest follies a person can have in their heart is to believe they can live and subsist without God in their lives. Psalm 53:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. This God who created you and I, who created the heavens and the earth, has created us to be in relationship with him. And so when we live in this world as though God does not exist, Scripture teaches us that we're fools. Now, I've shared this before, but there's this nice, thick, juicy theological book I have. It's literally 1,200 pages. And these were the Puritans back in the 16th century. This guy was a little bit tweaked, maybe. But he wrote 1,200 pages on this verse. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. What was he getting at? He was not talking about the unbeliever atheist, because that was a rare phenomenon back then. He was talking about those who claim faith and live as if God was not in their lives, that he was not the center of their lives. And so Scripture is saying it's folly to live life without God at the center. That would be the way I would interpret that. You know, one of the reoccurring themes in the Apostle John's first letter is our call to be in loving relationship with God and loving relationship with one another. Just as God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love one another before even creation came to be, so we, created in his image, are created to be in relationship with him and relationship with one another. That's why the church community is so important. This is God's scripture. You can't read the New Testament and live in isolation. You cannot read the scriptures and come to the conclusion I can live in an isolated life. So God calls us together in worship. He calls us together to love one another, to be together, and to know this beautiful God who's inviting us into relationship with himself. That's really what John is trying to help us see throughout his letter. And so he reminds us in verse 13 of our reading, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is something that will characterize you forever and ever. This is not something that goes away. This is the most important thing of your life. And we have to learn to live as it's the most important thing in our lives. Now, one of the ways we express that importance of our relationship with God and our call to love one another is prayer. Is prayer. And so, he's encouraging us in prayer. You know, your relationship with God begins with a prayer. It begins with a prayer. Sandy expressed that in such a beautiful way this morning, right? She heard God speaking, she was praying, and she says, I got to act. Prayer. You know, Paul, the apostle, in Romans tells us this in chapter 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is a prayer. You enter into your relationship with God through prayer. So today, I want us to see that the most incredible and unbelievable promises extended to us from God to us are experienced through prayer. They can't be experienced otherwise. Prayer is the paramount way. And there's three things I want us to see in our text this morning. First, that we can gain confidence in prayer. It's important for us to be confident in our praying. The second thing I want us to see is that there's a condition here for prayer. What does it mean to pray according to God's will? We need to know that. You just can't pray anything. We would have to know what his will is. And then finally, we need to understand when we pray, our prayers bring consequence. They bring change. They bring transformation to our own personal lives, and they change the world around us. That's amazing when you think about it. I've seen it many times. I've seen through prayer. I was, in fact, it just worked out this way. On Thursday, somehow, and I wasn't planning on a days of prayer retreat, but I was able to spend the whole day with God in prayer on Thursday. I was just being so weighed down with something in my heart. Elders know what it is. And I had to go to the Lord in prayer, and he drew me to prayer. Do you know, by the end of the day, I was a happy person. I started the day somewhat of a miserable person, asked my wife. By the end of the day, because of the Lord's presence in my life, I had a sense of joy and peace. You see, this isn't a burden, prayer. It's a privilege to change us, to be better people. So let's look at these three things. Let's begin with our confidence, the need for confidence in prayer. Now, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that we, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I love the word confidence. Now, the original language, the Greek word confidence, parrhesia, is literally means a freedom of speech without reservation. You know, you can't be free in speech without reservation with everyone, can't you? I mean, some people, if you start to express yourself fully to another person that you don't trust and you don't know, they might think you're a little bit tweaked, right? A little bit crazy. But here, this word is the confidence, according to Strong's now, is openness, frankness, without ambiguity, free, fearless, cheerfully courageous, boldness, assurance. That is how we're invited to come to God in prayer, with confidence. Now, most people don't have confidence when they pray. That's a problem, isn't it? A lot of people don't. Hollywood has done an excellent job, by the way, of showing how awkward people feel about prayer. Remember National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase? I'm really dating myself here. We're talking about a film from the 70s One scene at the dinner table where grandma is asked to pray and say grace. Instead, she recites the Pledge of Allegiance. Or a more recent film, Meet the Parents, with Ben Stiller. He's asked to say grace at the dinner table, and he quotes from an old song from the Broadway hit Godspell, Day to Day. And really, all those films are showing us is that people do not have confidence when they pray. Some churches circumvent people's discomfort with prayer by simply have members memorize rote prayers, you know, repetitious prayers. I grew up praying around a string of beads, going to a confessional booth, and sitting in a church with a whole set of memorized prayers. But when I look back, I can honestly say I never really sensed the presence of God in all of that. It was a form of godliness, but without the power of God, because I didn't have confidence when I went to the Lord in prayer. John tells us that we as believers can have boldness, freedom, confidence when we pray. Despite our insecurities, despite our fears, despite who we are. Now, the question is this: how do we gain confidence? How do we gain confidence that John is talking about? Now, I'm going to give you two reasons we can gain confidence based on his word now. First, we gain confidence as God's children. You know what the Bible teaches? When you come into relationship, when you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Scripture says you're forgiven of your sins, you're born again, and the Spirit of God lives within you, and now you're called God's children. That's what we are, children of God. In fact, we're invited to speak to God as Abba, Father, which is another way of saying Daddy. It's an intimate expression of prayer. Now, as God's children, we have the right to go to God. It's a legal right, actually. That's the language of the scriptures. John the Apostle, in his first chapter of the gospel, wrote this: all who received him, that's what it means to believe in Christ, all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So as God's children, we can go to the Father in heaven anytime, with any concern, with any prayer, and the apostles tell us he hears us as his children. I love when my daughters come to me as their father, especially now they're older, not as much in our lives, they're adult children, but when they're younger, especially they come to me, I would give them anything that was for their good. Anyone who's raised a child knows that feeling, right? As a mother or father. Is there anything good you would withhold from your children? The real question is discerning what's good for them at times. I would do anything in my power to help them and give them what their hearts desire. Every normal parent knows this. As God's children, we have the right to go to God anytime as his son, as a son and daughter would go to their earthly father. That's the imagery that we have here. So the first step in gaining confidence in prayer is to be assured that you're God's child. Not to be confused on this. You are unconditionally accepted through the shed blood of Christ. There's nothing you can add to that equation. Do you believe that? You got to. If you don't believe that, you're not going to have confidence going to him in prayer. Scripture teaches us that when you put your faith in Christ, that he paid for your sins to open the door for a relationship with him. Nothing can be added to that. Not a thing. You're saved by faith through grace. That opens the door. And you become the child of God at that point. Once you're convinced of that, then you have no problem going to the Father with whatever's going on, your anxieties, your failures, your burdens. Of course, thanksgiving and prayer, praise, of course, too. And so we go to God as a child. I love that. There's another reason here I like to bring out through the Gospel of John. That's confidence in who God is. Confidence in who God is. Now, John, throughout his letter, reminds us of the character of God. The character of God. Who is this God that we're in relationship, who created us? Well, in the first chapter of this letter, he says, God is light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In chapter 4, on several occasions, John writes this, God is love. God is love. God is morally perfect and good and desires what's best for our lives. Yesterday, we had someone who came into the church. We prayed. He received Christ as his Savior. Prayed with us, CJ and I. We're here during the Bible study. He just wandered into the building. But we spent a lot of time talking to him. He felt God was angry at him because of all the bad things that were happening in his life. And so, as a result, he didn't want to go to God because he thought God would punish him. You see, that's what the devil does to our minds. He distorts and twists our mind, because when we forget about the character of God and we allow the devil to suggest to us the lie that God is other than he is, then we don't want to go to him in prayer. Who would want to go to a grumpy old man in the sky who's going to punish you every time you go there and whack you in the head? It's the kind of way I grew up. I thought, you know, God is going to excoriate me. Can't go to a God like that. You have to allow the scriptures, the word of God, and what's written to define who God is. He's love. He loves us. How does he express that love? Through the person of Jesus Christ. He's light. In him, there's no darkness at all. That means if I have confidence of who God is, that means no matter what I bring before the Lord, that God in his goodness is going to give me exactly what I need. He may not give me what I'm asking for because it may not be for my good. Or he may make me wait for it because maybe patience is better than receiving what I want. We don't always know the outcome of our prayers, but because of the character of God, and if I know that he's all-powerful and able to give what I need at any given time, I learn to rest in him. I'm convinced that God is good, and he loves me and desires the very best for my life. Are you convinced of those things? If you're not, then your prayer life is going to be feeble. James the Apostle, he was a brother of Jesus, he reminds us this way, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. So how do we become familiar with the true nature of God? Well, we have to get all those lies out of our head, and the only way we do that is through the Word of God. This is his word. He's speaking to us. He's telling us who he is. It is his word we discover who God is, his attributes or character. When we know who he is, we gain confidence when we go to him in prayer. When we know who he truly is, then in the valley, when we're in the valley of the darkness of the shadow of death, right? Psalm 23, I fear no evil because you're with me, Lord, your rod, your staff guide me. You see, there's so many scripture promises about the character of God that we gain confidence before him. My wife sent me a clip from a sermon this past week from Josh Harrington. And he said this was, I thought, amazing. There was an extensive study done on Bible reading and prayer. Bible reading and prayer. You know, we talk about that all the time. How necessary it is for each of us, if we're going to grow and have peace and all those things, to be in the Word and in prayer every day, right? This is what he said. This is what the study said. For those who read the Bible and go to the Lord one time a week, there's almost no change in a person's life. So that means if you just come Sunday and you leave Sunday and you do nothing on your own, there's going to be very little change in your life, very little transformation. Two times, nothing. Even two times. I was kind of shocked at that. Three times, he says nothing. I was surprised at that. Three times. But he says, then all of a sudden you get to four times, and this is what Josh, Pastor Josh said, if you go to the Lord four times more or more a week in Bible reading and in prayer, 228 times more likely to share your faith. 407 times more likely to memorize scripture, to have it with you wherever you go. 59% less involved in habitual sin. 59% that you wouldn't be ensnared by pornography or some other crazy sin that is there for so many people. 30% less likely to be depressed, lonely, or anxious. Four times or more. I mean, what is that study telling us? That there's tremendous value in spending time with God in prayer and Bible reading. And that's what John is saying here. This is the confidence we have in him. You know, what we have to remember, when John wrote this letter almost 2,000 years ago, he was writing to a people who were immersed in a culture of idolatry before coming to Christ. They were immersed in it. This is the Roman Greek world that he's writing to. Gods of Rome and Greek were foreboding gods, capricious gods who would punish you if you didn't have the right prayers or the right sacrifices. Gods like Zeus, who could protect you or strike you down, or Poseidon, who could protect your journey or sink your ship. There are all these crazy ideas, and so people were fearful. So these were liberation words about a God that they can worship. The Greeks and Romans of John's, they didn't have confidence when they went before the Lord or gods, because their gods were fickle gods, selfish gods, sought out their own personal gain. That is not the way it is with God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They come across to us as servants in Scripture. A God who's giving and wants our best and good. A God who's loving and unconditionally accepts us. This is what makes this verse of Scripture so powerful. We can have confidence that he hears us and desires to give us what we need. Unlike the gods of Hindus, Greeks, Romans, tribal religions, and all these aberrant ideas about God through churches that don't teach well. And so we can have confidence. There's a second thing I want us to see, and look at verse 14 with me. There's a condition here to all this. There's a condition in prayer. We need to ask according to God's will. That's the condition. We read it in verse 14. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So this begs the question, how do you know if you're praying according to God's will? Well, again, just as we learn about God's nature and attributes from the Bible, so too we can begin to understand the will of God through his word also. As you read the scripture, one of the most overarching themes concerning God's will for our lives is that God wants to reflect something of himself through us. Does that make sense? He wants to change us to be godly people, transform us to be like the person of Jesus Christ. That is what the scripture teaches. That's his intention for us. That famous verse of scripture in Romans 8:28, God works all things out for the good for those who love him. Well, what's the good? Verse 29, those he predestined, those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. And so God is desirous through life's journey that we become transformed and changed to be like him so that we can be light and salt to the world around us. That's his will. The Apostle Paul, when writing to the Thessalonians, helps us to understand this a little bit when he says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. In other words, to be set apart, to be changed, to be new, not to be attached to the things of this world and the desires that would lead us away from God. So when I pray according to God's will, I'm praying for things that would happen in my life for His glory, His majesty, His presence, His love. What a great way to live, isn't it? Pastor Mike, isn't that great? To live for Him? That my life would be an expression of love and God's glory? What a freeing way to live. To live for myself is not freeing, by the way. First of all, there's not enough things to satisfy me in this world. It's the nature of the world. If our primary goal in life is to be comfortable, we're never going to grow. It's tempting. If our primary goal is financial security, God will shrink. And I will become more fearful and worried. If I become consumed with being always of good health, I'm not saying we should not take care of our bodies, but we become consumed with it, God is going to wind up on the outside looking in. You see, God's desire for us is that no matter what we're passing through life, whether we have little or we abound with much, whether we have times of sickness or health, or whatever we're going through, His desire is to transform us, to change us through life. Our goal in life is not to have life the way we want it, but to be changed into the person that God wants us to be. If our hearts are consumed with what we desire rather than what God desires, then we're never going to be praying according to His will. You know, people are saying, well, I prayed for God to take this away, and God didn't take away, therefore God is not good. Well, that's a prayer that's fashioned according to their own will, not God's will. Maybe God allowed that thing in your life to humble you, to teach you, to lead you, to create patience in you. That's what Scripture teaches. And so John writes, we have confidence when we pray according to His will. It changes the way we pray. So if you want your prayers to be heard, then you have to adjust your heart to be with the heart of God, to have God's heart as you pray, to be more like Jesus, to live a life of humility, sacrifice, communion with the Father in heaven. You know, Jesus never prayed to be comfortable. He simply prayed, Father, not my will, yours wills be done, right there in the garden before He went to the cross. Listen to how the Apostle Paul prayed for the Colossian church in this regard. It's so powerful, really, when you look at it. We've not stopped praying for you and asking God to, what is He asking? Listen, to fill you with the knowledge of His will. I have not stopped asking God to take away all your infirmities. That's not what He said. I have not stopped asking God that all your relationships would be easy and at peace. I've not stopped asking God that you would be prosperous and rich. That's what some of our TV evangelists are preaching, right? No, He says, I have not stopped asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, with all wisdom and understanding. And we pray this. Why is He praying this? In order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. Bearing fruit in every work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. What an amazing prayer of Scripture. Come on. So to pray according to God's will means I'm asking God to change me into the person He wants me to be. That's primary. When I'm able to understand that, then I'll stop praying for more comfort and praying prayers of surrender. Whatever may come, Lord, as Pastor Mike was reading from Romans, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? No. distress, persecution, nakedness, famine, dangerous. No, in all these things, I'm more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Whatever may come, Lord. So our confidence in prayer comes as God's children and the nature of God. The condition of prayer is the will of God. That I'm now going to the Lord seeking how does he want to change me into the person he wants me to be? And then finally, the consequence as we pray, the consequence. Verse 15, we read this. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we asked of him. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests we asked of him. This again goes back to, well, what are we asking for? If I know I'm asking for things according to his will, now I already believe that I'm going to receive the answer to the prayers I prayed. You know, a couple of consequences. First, when I begin to pray, my faith increases. You know, faith is to be exercised. You know, we talk about this. Faith is the belief that God has spoken and that through his word, his promises are to be trusted. That's really what faith is. As I pray and I'm in relationship with God the Father in prayer, God increases my faith in some way. I can't explain to you. It's a kind of an amazing transformation. I get greater and greater and greater in confidence that God is my life. As I pray. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what Scripture teaches. We know that we get what we ask of him. Now, the tense structure in this verse, in the original language, this is verse 15, is very interesting. John's telling us here that we already possess what we ask of God even as we ask for it. This points to such a deep assurance in my heart that when I pray, God not only hears me, but he's ready to act in such a way that I'm convinced already that I have what I've asked for. Think about that. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're absolutely convinced in your heart as you pray that you're receiving and have already received just what you need, what kind of person will you be? I'll tell you what, you'll be a contented person. You will be a contented person. A person who's at rest and at peace. There'll be a quietness in your spirit concerning all of life and its difficulties and complexities. That leads us to this simple point. The consequence of prayer is peace. Apostle Paul teaches this so well in those well-known verses in chapter 4 of Philippians. He's inviting us, don't be anxious for anything. That means if you're worrying, you've already walked away from this one. Don't be anxious for anything. That's a tough call, isn't it? But in everything with thanksgiving. This is from Philippians chapter 4. Everything with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and then the promise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's a consequence of prayer. Peace. The peace comes because I'm believing that I'm going to receive what I need from God who's going to give it. The old hymn, remember the old hymn? Some of us who are old remember the old hymn. Sweet Hour of Prayer. The hymnist put it this way. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. but thy return, sweet hour of prayer. So a consequence of prayer is a peace that passes all understanding. Wow. And then the final thing, the final consequence, we talk about it all the time, of impacting others in our world for Christ, for God. You know, you think about the church and all of its activities, and I do this a lot. It's really my job in a way, but I pray about it a lot, that everything we do as a church would be for God's glory, and that God, something about God would be seen through us as Emmanuel Bible Church. There's a lot of things that go on in this building, right? Some of us who have been around know that. Look at this month and everything goes on. So as Johnny launches Politics in Action, I'm on my knees for you, Johnny. May Christ be exalted through Politics in Action, and may you have the strength to show these young kids something about God in this world, that when they go into this world, it's politics isn't just politics. That even in that arena, Christ can be amplified. Or volleyball. It's not just kids swatting a ball around a net. If that's what it is, that's pretty lame, right? Wouldn't you say, Pastor Mike? It's swatting a ball for the glory of God. Or soccer, kicking a ball for the glory of God. VBS or anything, any of them, His Mercy. You can apply this to anything, the small groups. And I would pray that everything we do is for Him. When we do that, there's something very liberating about what church is. It's not what I can get, but what I can give, right? And if we're a giving church, if we're giving of ourselves away, it becomes a beautiful expression of who God is in this world. That's all, isn't it? That's what church is. It's not a building. It's God's people gathered to express something about who God is, His word, His person, His love, His love. God so loved the world, right? He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scriptures and your reminders of our call to pray. Help us towards that end, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the previous message. We pray that you were blessed by it. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org.